be here.
Okay, so how long do I have?
You have to let it pass your lips. Oh, okay. All right. So I don't know what time I'm supposed to end, so somebody better tell me or I can just go. So, honestly. So what time would we like to be done, basically? Oh, well, kick off your shoes, get relaxed. No. I'm very excited to be here, particularly at this time of the season. Growing up in America, Christmas was one of the seasons where, as kids, we always looked forward to, and you know, our households were full of all of the typical things that people think of Christmas. We had trees and lights and stockings and presents and ribbons and bows and everything. But when I became a Christian and I began to go through the Bible, and I came across the stories in there about the birth of Christ, about Jesus being born, it changed my whole perspective of what this world thinks about Christmas. And so this morning's message is that Christmas impacts culture. And what do I mean by Christmas? We'll come to that. But this past weekend, I had a real opportunity to see how the culture in which we live has kind of taken the birth of Christ and has distorted it and churned it into something that it was never intended to be. My sister-in-law is a missionary in Thailand and Cambodia. I've been there for 30 years. And she's just came home. She never comes home at this time. She rarely comes home at all. In fact, this is no longer her home. She just visits. And we had some rare times. And one of the things that she wanted to experience was this cultural experience of what's known as Black Friday. All right, so Black Friday was just a few days ago, right, on Friday, when ours are, the culture we live in calls Black Friday. And in America, Black Friday, for the secular culture, in a sense, starts the Christmas season. All right, so now, personally, and most of the men here can agree with you, and maybe many or agree with me, and maybe many of you women, I personally despise shopping. I do not like shopping malls at all. I mean, for a man, it's simple, right? For men, I can go into a store and look, and I know exactly, because it's either black, brown, gray, beige, or blue. That's it. The hardest choice we have as men, do I want a shirt with a button-down collar or not? That's pretty much my choice. I feel sorry for you women, because you have so many choices and everything. But personally, I do not like shopping. I do not like to go into malls, particularly at this time of the year. I find them to be really an invitation to stress. There's so many people. Just getting in a mall, there's so many cars. But my sister-in-law wanted to experience it. So many cars and people, and you're really trying to remember the whole time in the parking lot, I'm a Christian, just let that person, even though they took my parking spot again, just let them. So finally you get out, and you get into the mall, and it's mad, right? I mean, everybody's there, and there's that look on their face like, get out of my way, I'm on a mission, and people are going, and I'm thinking, isn't this supposed to be a joyful time? I mean, that's the way they tell us. And I look around and see everything that's going on. So the way I handle mall shopping is I just sit down. I tell my wife, and she would much rather not have me there complaining and telling her, come on, let's move it along. She would rather just say, you know, you just do whatever and I'll find you. So I sit down in the mall. I enjoy watching people. Anybody here enjoy watching people? I just like watching people. You know, you just see them and you can make up stories about them in your mind, and you watch, and people are running around and going and they're carrying bags and everything, which is funny on that day, because I happened to go to over to the Spectrum on Tuesday. There's a Target over there, and I had to pick up something. So while I was there, I decided just to walk around for a little bit and get me a cup of coffee. Now, this was Tuesday. Oh no, it was Wednesday. Thursday is Thanksgiving, so everybody's closed. So on Wednesday, I went there. Now, Wednesday, it was so different than Friday. Wednesday, it was like being at a stalker's convention. People were there at the mall, but nobody was buying it. People would go and they'd look in the windows. I'd see them go into stores and I'd see them come out empty-handed. And it was kind of weird, and I was thinking, okay, I know what they're doing. They're just preparing themselves for Friday. And then, of course, then Friday was different, and everybody was just running around shopping, and I was just sitting back. I have to admit, I only went into one store. I was very happy. I only went into one store the whole weekend, and that was the Apple store. And that lasted for about 10 seconds. I got in the door, and it was just so many people. I walked, sat down, and just watched people. The thing is that actually they make the malls look very nice. There's bright lights and bright colors, and even in some of the places, Christmas music. But as I'm watching, I don't think anybody is hearing or seeing, because they have just this whole idea of Christian, of Christmas, of what it's supposed to be about, of getting and wrapping, and it becomes a distraction instead of a powerful statement to the world in which we live. And so I want you to turn with me in your Bibles, if you will, to Luke chapter 2. It's a familiar story, often read at this time of the year, but I want us to get a sense, a feel, for what Christmas is really about. So starting with Luke chapter 2, and we're going to start with verse 8. And let's start there. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. That's how I felt in the mall. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people." Now let me stop there for a minute, because if we were doing a parable, say we decided, let's do a parable for a secular society about on this, how would we do it? Well, we would probably replace the angel, because remember now, with a secular society, a non-believing society, we would take the angel and we would put it in place of the mailman. So instead of an angel, you would have the mailman, and the good news of great joy would be all these flyers that say, "Sale. Sale. Here's a sale." And that's kind of the way, you know, it seems today. So we have this, "Bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. And today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Let's stop there for a minute. Because, brothers and sisters, here we have the first sense. At Christmas is about God breaking through into our world at surprising times and showing up at an unusual places in the world. You never know when or where or how God is going to reveal himself and show himself. I'm sitting in the mall, and if people would have just stopped for a second, if they would have listened to one of those songs, even in the midst of all of this, God was trying to speak to people's hearts. Bible is full of stories of how God breaks into the world, meets with people, especially when they thought God was nowhere to be found. Think of it. God goes to a pagan worshiper in Ur, far off. And God breaks into his world and says, Abraham, I'm going to make you a father of many nations. Elijah, the prophet, given up on God, had run and hid himself, wanting to die, hides in a cave. And God shows up outside that cave and whispers to him in the still, small voice. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, God shows up there in the fiery furnace, and with Daniel in the lion's den. And perhaps the most unusual place he shows up is in this field outside of this town of Bethlehem. And he reveals himself as he speaks to shepherds and lets them know and announces something great is going to happen. And that's the first observation I want us to think about this morning. That the Christmas story, the real Christmas story, what it really is about God informing the culture. Of God breaking in unusual places with unusual people and touching their hearts. I don't know if any of you have ever heard of Akiana Kramerick. I first came across Akiana on television when she was about 6 or 7. She's now 15. Akiana is a child prodigy, the only known child binary prodigy in both realistic painting and poetry. And her paintings are powerful. They're full of magnificent colors and these deep expressions. And Akiana's story is that she will tell you, at the ripe old age of 4 years old, she had a spiritual encounter with God. And so she says that her paintings are her attempt to help people see God through her eyes. Her paintings are an attempt to help people to get to know God. Her poetry are written to help people keep their mind on God. But here's the strange thing for me. It's all about how God works. At 4 years old, she has a spiritual encounter with God. But the thing is, she did not come from a Christian home. Her American-born father is a culinary art instructor and chef. Her Lithuanian stay-at-home mom was an atheist. In her house, there was never any talk of God. In her house, there was never any spiritual training. In her house, they never went to church. And yet God chooses to break into her world and give her a vision and a mission. This is what God does. This is what the story is about that we're reading. That these shepherds, by all accounts, insignificant people, are out in the field. And God breaks in and gives them a message for the world around them, for their culture. This is what God does. He breaks in. And I love this when we read about it, because Christmas informs the culture that there is meaning and purpose in this world. that the God who created the world has come to redeem the world. The true King of the world has been born. And he's going to set up his everlasting kingdom. This is the message they were receiving centuries before that. Centuries before that, the prophet Isaiah received the same word. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. You know it in Isaiah 9, 6 and 7. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase in his government, there will be no end. And he will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. This is the first thing that we have to know. That the story is about God wanting to inform the culture, to let them know that they hadn't been forgotten, to let them know that the true King is born, to let them know that I am coming into your world. And as I sat there in that mall and I watched people, I wanted to get up on one of those benches, except I knew they would arrest me. And that shouldn't have stopped me anyway. But I wanted to get up and I wanted to shout, look, stop, slow down, just hold on. You've got it wrong. Because they're not hearing the message. People are just going, there is meaning and purpose, yes. But it's not what they think. It's not trying to find that right gift, that right present. It's about the fact that the God who created the world has come to redeem the world. Now, the second observation I want us to think about is that the Christmas story is about God transforming the culture. It's not just a message that comes in that something is happening. But there's something that takes place, should take place in our hearts. Look at verse 13 and 14 of Luke chapter 2. Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests. Peace to men on whom his favors rest. Right? This is God. This is what he does. He changes us. The story, as you read it along, we won't go into it because I'm sure during this season someone will come and share the particulars of the story. But one of the things is that you see is that after the shepherds actually hear the message, something begins to happen in their heart. They begin to be transformed. I thought of a little story that I read a long time ago that helped me to think about it. Of how important transformation is for the world around us. There was a father, and was in the evening, and he had finally got all of his kids to go to sleep. And he sat back, and he had a cup of coffee, and he had the newspaper, and he was just getting ready to read and relax. But just as he was about, getting so comfortable, his youngest daughter comes in and says, Daddy, I can't sleep. He goes, oh, you just want a drink of water, here you go. And he takes her back and puts her to bed. And she comes back and says, Daddy, I can't sleep. He says, I can go back to bed. And she cries, Daddy, I can't sleep. So he's getting a little frustrated. But as he's holding his newspaper, he sees that in one section, there's a picture of the globe, of the world.
And so an idea comes. He goes, I know what I'll do. So he takes a pair of scissors, and in his newspaper, he cuts out the world, and then he cuts it into several pieces. And he gives her some tape, and he says, here, go put the world together. All right, so he sends her off thinking that she's going to be taken care of for a while. But to his surprise, within a very short time, she comes back and she has the world all taped. And he looks at her and he says, honey, how would you do that? How were you able to do that so fast? Well, what he didn't know is that on the back side of the world, on the newspaper, as his little girl was staring as he was coming out, was a picture of a man. And she said, Daddy, when I made the man right, the world was right. Wow. That's profound. Because that's what it's all about. Transformed people transform the world. This is what the scriptures tell us. Look, in Romans chapter 2, do not conform any longer, what? To the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is. His good, pleasing, and perfect will. How does that happen? When we are transformed. When God touches our heart. When we believe it. Now the thing with Christian faith, a lot of people think that our faith is just a bunch of facts. It's not. It's full of facts. But it's not just facts. In fact, for these facts, you know, for our belief to become faith, we believe these facts. We believe that Jesus was born and came into this world. We believe that God, Emmanuel, God with us, walked with man. We believe that. We believe that Jesus died for our sins and ascended into heaven. We believe that. We believe that we can receive forgiveness of sins. We believe that. But those are facts. Those facts only become faith when we act upon them. And that's how we are transformed. When we act upon these things, we believe them. We read them, we believe them, and then we act on them. And that was what we read about these shepherds. And notice how the change that was coming into the world. Look back at verse 14 of chapter 2. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, what was happening? Peace to men on whom His favor rests. God's grace. Turn with me over real quick to Luke chapter 2. Look at verse 40. Speaking of Jesus. And the child grew and became strong. He was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. God's favor was upon Jesus. And this was what was happening upon those shepherds. And this is what happens to us when we act upon these things. We find God's favor. Whenever I send out a missionary, or someone out short term or went into the mission field, always pray, God, may your favor be on them. When I send someone out for a job interview or something, because we pray, you know how economic times, we always pray that God's favor go before them. This is happens to transform people, that in the midst of all of these things, we can have this peace. Knowing that God's favor rests upon us because we trusted Him. Things don't change overnight. We may still experience all of these situations. The shepherds were still shepherds. They heard this great message. They acted upon it. They believed it. And I truly believe from the story that they lived it out the rest of their life. Still shepherds. Probably still, for some in society, thought very lowly of them. But they now enjoyed a peace because God's favor rested upon them. And they had a message now, a vision from God. This is what He does for us.
This is what the message is that God has come into the world. And he has a message and a vision for us to bring us peace and favor and to give us something to say.
Now, here's the last thing. Well, I won't say the last thing because then you'll get your hopes up. But this is the third thing I would say, the third observation. My last observation about this is that I would like to point out that the Christmas story is about God forming a new culture. So first he informs us. He starts off with for what the world would say, insignificant, in an unusual place. Even us. I mean, we don't hold probably a lot of power in this city, much less the world. So to many, we would be considered insignificant. But God can take a church like this that meets in a community center and do something significant through them, as he transforms the hearts of people. And this is the third thing. It's about God forming a new culture. He informs us. As we believe it, we are transformed. And this is what happens. This is our experience, right? We experience the new birth. And then we begin to experience the process of sanctification as we go through. We start to be transformed. We start to look at life differently, don't we? How many of you as Christians see things exactly the same as you did before you were Christians? No. Because we evaluate things differently. Because of the Holy Spirit in us, we see things differently. We evaluate things differently. And so he begins to transform us, and then he takes us. And he takes us, and he begins to form a new culture, a new community, a new people. Many of you would never have been here. I would never have been here. I would never have met so many of the different people I know and shared friendship over the years with them had it not been for Jesus Christ. Right? You wouldn't be here today, many of you. So the Lord brings us and he's forming and he's creating this new culture, this new community, this new people who see things differently through the eyes of God. Listen, let's read on it in the story. Let's finish up this story, starting with verse 15. So when the angels had left them and gone into the heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. And when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen. Were just all the things that they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Christ's birth was the signal of something new. The story of Christmas brings the announcement that the kingdom of God is breaking through a new world order. Something was taking place. And this is what God does. Now listen, here's where it's so important for us. Because during this time of the year, watching people sitting there, everybody's oblivious to it. They have lost sight. We have And we have to be careful that we don't lose sight. The early church, and this is why I kind of preach this message today, the early church, centuries ago, struggled with the same issues we do as a church in the 21st century. They saw the world creeping into their church. They saw the church being tempted to conform to the ways of the world. And so they started a church calendar. Now, we really don't follow the church calendar too often in churches. But today would be the official, this would be New Year's Day on the church calendar. It's the Sunday closest to the 30th of November. And the early church set up this system where you would go through different seasons to help keep you focused on the life of Christ so you wouldn't be captured or distracted. And in this season, the four Sundays leading up to what we celebrate as Christmas, or what we know as Christmas, is known as Advent, the season of waiting, the season of expectation. Those shepherds were out in that field going through their life, not thinking probably about God, because God had been silent for 400 years. Nobody had been thinking about God. God was nowhere to be found for those people. They lived under the Roman Empire. It was a dark time. The Roman religion, which was paganism and polytheism, their gods were leaving people lacking. Judaism had become legalistic and had lost sight. People were giving up. God breaks through to these unsuspecting shepherds. And at first they were afraid. And then God's message grips their heart. They began to experience His peace, His favor right there. And they took hold of that message. And they did something with it. Here's what I want us to think about and to apply to our lives as Christians. First, there is a marvelous progression in the story of these shepherds, right? They heard the message. They believed the message. And I want you to notice in the story, look in Luke, starting with verse 16. Let's go back there. Well, actually, let's go back to verse 15. So when the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told about." So they immediately went. They acted upon this. Now listen. So they hurried off and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. And when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had told them about this child. As soon as they saw the baby, they turned and they began to act on that. And they began to share the message of what had happened in their life. This is what the story reminds us. That God has come into this world. He has done something powerful in our lives. And we have a story to tell about how God has changed our life. Everybody in here has a story, a testimony, whatever you want to call it. We have a story to tell about what God has done in our life. The powerful things He has done. And they began to tell. And what was the result of that? The result of it said that people were amazed. The people were amazed at these shepherds and what they were saying. It means that they marveled at these things. Because these were the things that
people wanted to hear, they had been longing for. And in the midst of their skepticism and their cynicism, heard this message. The King has come. He has broken into our world. And in the midst of the darkness, the light has come. That's a powerful message. And this is, as I sat there at this mall, and I'm watching people as I'm sitting there, and I'm watching people run around and with looks on their faces when it's full of bright lights and looks so wonderful, such a great atmosphere, and yet there was such seriousness and hairiness on the face of people. I was thinking, this is the message. They got it wrong. They've got it wrong because they're worried about gifts and they're ignoring the one true gift that's come into this world. And my heart was breaking. So there's this progression that takes place, and it should happen in all of us. We believe, we have to act on it, folks. We need to share our stories of what God has done in our life. Make the Christmas story come alive in someone else's life. And then this is the thing that struck my heart, is that we need, you and I need to recapture the wonder that these shepherds had. We need to believe that God can actually do something, that He might actually break in again into our experience, in the experiences around us, and do something. That God still acts in that way. And then He wants to. I mean, do you still have that wonder when you first came to the Lord? That, Lord, it was so exciting. I remember when I first came to the Lord and everything that was going on, the changes He was making in my life, the way He was opening my eyes. You know, He was removing the veil that I had lived in darkness, and I began to see His light. I began to evaluate the world on the basis of what the Spirit was telling me and not what people were telling me. Do you still have that wonder that God can break in and do something even in your existence? That God can break into your company and change the hearts of those employees around you? That God can do something, break into our campuses and change? That God can break in right here and take this group and impact a community around you? Do we still believe? Do we still have that wonder? Do we have that excitement that the shepherds had? Because we are called in the line of shepherds. God has given us the same message. And He wants us to go out and do something with it. And I close with this thought. I was sitting there, and I was thinking that this warm, fuzzy story we gather around each year is reality, a much different story. It's this act of God reaching out into this world, embracing us with all that He is, to bring us to a place where we can know Him and have peace with Him. Not only that, then He uses us that we can be proclaimers of His greatness. Sometimes we want to make the human side of the story bigger than it is, but it's really about normal people like you and me who simply believe and live it out and honor the Savior by telling people about what God is doing. It's as simple as that. God invites us, as He did the shepherds of old, to be participants in His grand story. What a wonderful and beautiful and glorious truth it is. I'm going to close right now. I'm there at the moment. And I'm waiting for my wife and my sister-in-law. And I'm watching the people.
hear a song. And it surprised me. One of the Christmas carols, but one with great meaning. And you know it. And as I was watching the faces, no one was listening. It says, "Joy to the world. The Lord has come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare. Receive him." And as I watched, I wanted to scream. Do you guys hear it? Joy to the world. The Lord has come. Because there wasn't joy on the faces. The Lord has come. Receive your King. Open up your hearts. Prepare to receive him. No one listened. Distracted. Rushed. They're in the mall. God had broken in. And he went unseen by all those people around. And my heart broke. We can't let that happen. Know the story, the true story. This season, let's be the people we share. Let's bow our heads right now. One of the things, as you just bow your heads and just kind of allow the Lord to minister to you right now. And as you are, let me remind you of part of the story where it says that when the shepherds came to Mary, she treasured these things and she pondered them in her heart. This is what I want you to do right now. And your head's bowed and your eyes closed. I just want you to ponder right now. Things to think about. Think about this Christmas story and what it means to you. What it means to you personally that God has broken into your world. He revealed himself to you in a special way. And that he has loved you. And he's called you his own. And that he has said that he would never leave you nor forsake you. That no one can snatch you out of his hands. You're special to him. He calls you as his children. Now as you're thinking about that, and you're praying about that, and just thinking, maybe this morning, we're here. It's been a long time since you sensed the peace and the favor of the Lord upon you. That with everything going on in your life, that you've allowed yourself to become distracted. And to be all in all honesty that the Lord, even right now, it seems distant, far. And you want to experience the wonder of that relationship again. Power of that relationship that you once knew. With all heads bowed and no one looking around, I just want to give you an opportunity to respond in faith as we say. No one's looking. If that's you this morning, you want the Lord, you want to say to the Lord, "Lord, I want that wonder again back in my life. To be so close to you." Just raise your hand. No one's looking around. Yes. I see your hand. Yes. Yes. You can raise your hand and put it back down. Yes. I see your hands this morning. Yes. Yes. Yes, I see your hands. Lord. Father, we thank you this morning for helping us to remember what the world doesn't know.
That this is not simply a season to gratify ourselves. It's not about all of the lights and the pretty colors and the bows and the ribbons. It's not about those things. Those are the things that are used by this world to distract us. Lord, it's about your great love for us, that you would not allow us to stay in the condition that we were in, that you broke into this world in an unusual way. You stepped out of the glory of heaven and wrapped yourself in the pink flesh of a baby, and you came and lived with us and walked among us. You came to save us and to redeem us. And Lord, every time that you found one of us and called us your own, we experienced a wonder in our life. And I thank you for those who have raised their hands this morning, Lord. For those who once again want to experience that wonder of walking with you daily. Who once again want to experience that wonder of you speaking to their hearts. Lord, for those who raised their hands this morning, Lord, I pray that you would embrace them in that powerful way, and that you would speak to them in only the way that you can speak to them. That, Lord, that you would remind them of how valuable they are to you. That there is nothing insignificant about them to you. How deep your love is for them. Lord, we thank you this morning. Lord, we have a story to tell. At Christmas, you want to inform us. You want to transform us. You want to form us into something new. We thank you, Lord. We give you all the glory and honor. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Amen. Bless you. Thank you, brothers.